How many of you have ever heard somebody stand up and preach or teach that if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to give an offering? Anybody ever heard that? Come on, show me your hands if you've heard that. Yes, you've heard that. And if you're like Kathy and me, for years you believed that, bought into it. When somebody would stand up and say something like, well, tonight's special offering night, Lord told me, you know, extra blessings for the offering, and if you give, you're going to get all the extra blessing, blah, blah, blah. So we would do that. We were told to, when you write your checks on the memo line, write whatever it is you're sowing the seed for. That, as if God wouldn't know, right? write it down on the memo line. That way, you know, I guess God won't forget or something. I don't know. And that way, you know, that's what you're sowing your seed for. You know, act of faith, on and on it goes. but I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 55. We'll start there. Isaiah 55. I'm going to show you some things about blessings tonight. And the blessings that I'm going to show you, we're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of it. But the scriptures that I'm going to show you are blessings from God. And they require no offerings at all. No tithes, no offerings. Now in Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is, we're going to be talking about blessings tonight. So this verse right here, verse 11, is maybe the most powerful verse in the Bible. It's one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible when it comes to blessings. Now here's why. God says, when my word goes forth out of my mouth, it will not return unto me void. When my word goes forth out of my mouth, it shall accomplish that which I please, or to kind of paraphrase it, that which I have spoken, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So here's God up in heaven, and he begins to speak. And when he speaks, everything he says comes to pass. If he speaks something about healing, then that's the word. It's not going to change. If he speaks something about peace, it will do what he said it will do. And that's not going to change. But if he also says something about blessings, that's what it will do. Whatever word he has spoken about blessings, that's what it will do. It cannot change. You can't. Therefore, as I go through the word and I see God saying something about my blessings, I know for a fact that word is going to work. It can't return void. It has to prosper and accomplish what he sent it forth to accomplish. So every word that he has sent forth relative to blessings, let's just call them verses, okay? Because that's how we read the Bible, in verses. Every verse that he has spoken relative to blessings, that verse has no option other than to produce the blessing. It can't do otherwise, because God said it won't return void. God says it will accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. So, let's just imagine that these verses are like people. And he sends each one of these verses out. You know, here you go, Proverbs 16:3, go. And he speaks whatever that verse is, and Here you go, Matthew 5:21, go, and whatever that verse would be. I'm just making this up, you know, for illustration purpose. But when he sends these out, here go these verses. And these verses come running down from heaven into our realm. And here's a verse that is a verse about peace. That verse can't do anything other than produce peace in your life. That verse can't produce money. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if I take the peace verse and I say, give it up. I want some money. That verse says, I can't. Because when God sent me down here to you, I have a commission and I can only produce what He sent me to produce. So if you're asking me, the peace verse, to produce money in your life, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But if you want peace, well, now that's a different story. Because you see, I am anointed with peace. I carry peace. I have the power of peace. I, the peace verse, am peace. Do you want peace? No, I want money. Then you need to get another verse. Because I can't help you. Well, then we have a verse over here about healing. So God sends the healing verse out. That verse can't do anything but produce healing. Because God sent it forth to produce healing. So that verse was released from heaven down here to us. And that verse carries with it healing power. Anointing for healing. That verse has it. Because it cannot refuse to produce healing. Once it's down here, it can't say, I don't want to heal them. They don't even know me. They have never appreciated me. They didn't even believe in me for 50 years. So, you know, that's kind of rude. I don't want to do it. They can't help it. Because the moment that you say, well, hey, God can't lie. This verse came from Him. This is a healing verse. Well, okay, come here, verse. Come here. Do your thing. It doesn't matter what that verse thinks about you. It can't refuse to produce healing. Are you capturing this image here? Therefore, when God says, my word goes forth, it's not going to return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. When we get to the concept, the idea of blessings, those verses cannot refuse to produce the blessings in our life. It's impossible. They can't. They can't not work. It's impossible. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to read, and you're going to read with me. I'll give you the scripture verses. You might as well go all the way back to Psalm chapter 1. We'll start there. I have an advantage over you. I took the time to print them out. So I don't have to turn in my Bible, but you have to turn in yours. Psalm chapter 1. And we're going to read these. Now, whether or not we believe them or not, it's totally up to us. But these are verses where God has commanded a blessing. And that means these verses or these passages carry with them blessings, and they cannot refuse to produce the blessings in our life. It's impossible. So look at this. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man that does this. So if I refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, if I refuse to do that, then that verse has to produce blessings in my life. It can't not produce. It has to. When I make a decision that my delight will be in, let's just, the Word of God, and when I begin meditating in His Word. Now, here's the thing. Now, listen, this is cool. I don't even have to meditate for blessings. See this? I don't have to meditate for a specific purpose. Like, I'm going to meditate for healing. I'm going to meditate for joy. I'm going to meditate for, you know, pick your subject. I don't have to do that. If I just meditate in His Word, just for the sake of meditating in His Word, when I do that, then verse 1 kicks in. The blessings begin to be released automatically. It can't not happen. And He says, you know what? You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do is going to prosper. Whatever you do is going to prosper. Please let this sink in. This is a commanded blessing from God that He cannot take back. He released it. It's His Word that's been sent into our arena. And it says, blessed is the man who does these things. And you're going to be prosperous. You are going to have success. If you do this, you activate this blessing in your life. And by the way, if verse 1 could speak, verse 1 would say, by the way, you don't have to tithe to get me to work in your life. See it? You don't have to put an offering in the offering plate to get me to work. I am not contingent on an offering. I am contingent upon you not walking, standing, or sitting where you shouldn't, and on you deciding to have joy in the Word of God and meditating in His Word. And when you do that, I am mandated by God in heaven to bring blessings into your life. So, no offerings required here. You know what? That right there already makes me happy. Because that means when the guy on television is saying, today is the day to get your blessing, the thousandfold return, I'm going to say, you know what? I've already got one here and it doesn't require me to send you any money. All I have to do is get involved with what God says here in Psalm verse 1. That's all I have to do. And these blessings will be released into my life. Now look in Psalm chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. You know what I have to do to activate this one? Just rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say, you see this? No matter what my circumstances are, put my trust in Him. And look at this thing here, shout for joy. In other words, there needs to be some, now notice, shout for joy. In other words, the joy of my relationship with Him, express it verbally. Express it verbally. And Psalm 5 verses 11 and 12, these verses say, you know what, when you do this, God has instructed me to carry a blessing into your life because you have been made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And not only that, but the favor of God will surround you like a shield. The favor of God. You know what? I don't care what kind of business you're in. You need the favor of God. I don't care what kind of ministry you're in. You need the favor of God. You know, you could be a sales clerk at Walmart. You need the favor of God. Because look, when the favor of God is compassing you like a shield, it doesn't matter what your job is. Sooner or later, people are going to notice. It will begin to attract attention that there's something different, something unique about you. Look in Psalm 32. Look in verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and who in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, immediately we would look at this and think, praise God, I'm born again, I'm forgiven, the blood of Jesus has washed away my sin, hallelujah, I'm blessed, I get these blessings. Now wait, whoop, whoop, whoop. Hold on. I want to throw something out for you to think about here, okay? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What if somebody has taught you that as a Christian, when you sin, there's no need to repent? Would that now be an outstanding sin? Do you follow what I'm saying? As a believer, when I, if I, should I sin, and I go before the throne of grace, and I repent, His mercy is there, His grace is there, His blood is there, and if I repent, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, I now qualify for this blessing. Now, this kind of throws a whole different slant on this thing of repentance, does it not? Because if I believe I don't have to repent for sin, I'm missing the Psalm 32, 1 and 2 blessing. This isn't simply a matter of being born again, in whose spirit there is no guile. What is guile? Well, just think of it, anything that is opposed to the standard of God's Word. If you begin to embrace the twisted grace message, well, that's kind of guileish. He's saying, you know what? When you repent and your transgression is forgiven and your sin is covered and there is no iniquity in your life, then guess what? There is a blessing that is released into your life. It would behoove us to be quick to repent and mean it when we mess up. Because if we don't, we're missing on a blessing. See, again, these are blessings that can't be stopped. They are automatic because God put them in His Word. Look in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Notice it doesn't say, blessed is the man that trusts in Him for healing. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him for direction. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him for anything. It just said, to trust in Him. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. This doesn't mean you're walking on water. Let me say it like this. Our trust can be something along these lines. Father, I trust You. But the problem is, sometimes I don't feel like I'm trusting You the way I should. And I want to improve on that. But where I am right now in my spiritual maturity, that level where I am right now, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You. And God says, well, in that case, you're blessed. There is a blessing that is released just for trusting Him. Oh, I got a problem in my life. Cast the care of it over onto me. Well, why should I do that? Trust me that I can work it out. So I cast the care over onto Him and I stop worrying about it. Worry is not trust. When you're fretting over a problem, that means you haven't cast the care over it and you're not trusting. He says, you know what? If you trust Me in anything, just trust Me. There is a blessing that gets released into your life. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. This is very similar. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now this one's interesting because it's not just a matter of trusting, but it's also a matter of differentiating between people who do trust God and people who put on a religious show. This one, okay, what would a proud person be? Well, let me give you an example. A proud person would be a preacher who's convinced that his doctrine is correct, even though he has ripped Scripture to shreds and taken it grossly out of context. That's proud. Nor such as turn aside to lies. In other words, you're turning away from truth toward lies. A variation on this theme would be, you stop opening your heart to preachers and to Christians who are not walking the path of righteousness. Doesn't mean that you are rude to them, but it means, you know what? You no longer respect them. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love, but how can you respect somebody who's not walking in truth? I'm talking about respecting their position as far as whatever they call themselves. Now, he says when you do this, you're blessed. There's a blessing that is automatically released into your life for this. Look in Psalm 41. In Psalm 41, just take a look at verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. All I have to do is consider the poor. See that? All I have to do is... You say, what does that mean to consider the poor? Are there poor people around? Consider the poor. You say, yeah, but I mean, I know they're out there, but how do I consider the poor? All right, let me give you an example. One of the things that we do here in this ministry, when you give your offerings, we do send money to a local food bank. We do not have a food pantry here in this. We used to, but we live in an area where nobody ever came. The food would expire. We'd have to be throwing stuff out. So we got rid of the food pantry. But what we do is we send money to support the food bank so that people who are needy are going to be able to get in there and get some food. Another thing that we do here in this ministry was you give your offerings in, we do send money to a Salvation Army. Now, I don't mean every month, but we send money throughout the year to Salvation Army because they help people who are needy. They help people who are poor. They help people who need a place to sleep or whatever. So even though here in our bedroom community of Beaver Creek, Ohio, we don't have all those kinds of people surrounding us in our neighborhoods, those people do exist in this metro Dayton area. So we are, as a ministry, reaching out to help the poor. You as an individual, when you give into this ministry, a portion, and I don't know how it works out percentage-wise, but a portion of what you're giving ultimately is going into those areas to help the poor. Now, God says, when you consider the poor, and that's not just locally, but we've helped people in other countries as well, it says right here, you're blessed. God's going to deliver you in time of trouble. God will preserve you. God will keep you alive. You'll be blessed upon the earth. You'll not be delivered unto the will of your enemies. I thought that's a lot. Just for considering the poor. Just for considering the poor. Now, what I've shared that we do as a ministry doesn't mean that you don't, by yourself, that you should not, you know, help the poor however you help the poor, okay? I'm just letting you know that as a ministry, we're doing this. So therefore, look at this. God has said there's a blessing for this. A blessing for it. So when you do this, it activates that blessing in your life. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Verses 5 through 7. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Look at this. What is this? What activates this blessing? Praise. See it? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. God will, our God, he'll bless us. He'll bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When you praise God, I don't mean just go through the motions of singing, but when you open your heart and you begin to praise him, you are activating blessings that will be released into your life and you can't keep them away. All I have to do is begin praising God and blessings are going to come. This verse guarantees it. Look in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verses 4 and 5 and 12. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Here's a blessing for trusting. And here's a blessing when I rely on God for strength to do it. If I go to Him and I say, I can't do anything on my own, I need Your strength to accomplish whatever You've called me to do. But there's also a blessing for dwelling in His house. Now, if ever there would be a reason to attend church, God is telling you right here, there is a blessing. Now, we know that people can get legalistic over this. But when you have the opportunity to attend and you don't, just because you want to stay home, eat watermelon, and spit seeds all over the front yard, then you know what? You're missing a blessing. He says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Blessed. So I make a decision. I mean, I'm the pastor. I'm pretty much required to be here. But if I'm not the pastor, and I attend the church, and I make a decision, you know what? I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. God says, you know what? Well, let me say it this way. These verses say, you know what? You have just activated me to release blessings into your life. Because you chose to be here. Because you chose to be here. Because you just decided, I'm going to splash my face with some cold water, wake up from my, you know, chicken-induced nap, and I'm going to church. I'll drink some coffee along the way so I can stay awake during the sermon. But bless God, I'm going to go. I'm going to show up. And this verse says, hey, I mean, these verses are waiting here in the sanctuary. And they take attendance. And they look as you're coming in. Oh, yep, okay, there's Barry. I'll bless him tonight. Oh, looky there. There's Donna. I'll bless her tonight. Oh, yep, there's Wanda. There's Don. I'll bless them tonight. They said, well, where is... don't see them. Don't see them. Said, well, I ain't blessing them tonight. Another way to say it is, this verse would declare, I can't release my blessing into their life because they didn't show up. Now, I know if you're on vacation, okay, we understand those things. But when you can and you don't, because you just don't feel like it, this verse says, I would really like to release my blessing into their life. I really would, because that's why God sent me down here. And I can't refuse Him. If you will come, if you will attend, be here. And while you're here, you know, get involved. Participate. Do it with a right attitude. But then you activate me to release into your life what I am carrying with me. I can then bless your life. Look in Psalm 94. Now, this one's going to seem a little different, but it's here, and we can't argue it. Psalm 94, verses 12 through 14. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Blessed is the man who gets chewed out by the Lord. That's the Pastor Jim interpretation. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but that's kind of what it means. Whom the love Lord, he chastens. He corrects. Blessed is the man whom thou chastens, Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. In other words, when the Lord gives you a good talking to, when the Lord sits you down and says, we got some stuff to discuss, and he has that not too happy with you fatherly look in his eyes, He's not going to cast you off. That's what he's telling you here. He's going to chasten you. But this is the cool part. This verse has a blessing with it. So here's this verse. And this verse says, boy, are you in trouble. The Lord's got something to talk to you about. You got some things that need to be corrected. He's going to take His word and convict you, and you're going to feel lousy. But it's for your benefit, because He's trying to lead you along the paths of righteousness. Oh, and by the way, He's already commanded me that when He starts chastening you, I am to release blessings into your life. Think about that. And the Bible in the New Testament, it talks about, you know, no chastening is pleasant for the moment. Well, it's true. How many of us have been in services, got all convicted and all teary and everything else? Like, I'm sorry, God, I'll never do it again. It's chastening, it's conviction, it's correction, but there is a blessing that gets released in our life when this happens. There's a blessing for it. So really think of it like this. Oh God, chasten me. There's a blessing. A blessing. Well, let's look at another one. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember, it talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Blessed are they that keep judgment. You say, well, what's that mean, keep judgment? Well, let me just briefly help you understand it a little bit here. When I use discernment that comes from the Word of God to understand what is and is not right, and in the process, I judge based upon my spirit, meaning in Romans it talks about when the Gentiles who have not the law do what is contained in the law, their conscience either excusing or accusing and so forth. When the conscience of my born-again spirit is allowed to judge what is before me in life, and I judge according to righteousness and therefore do righteousness or live righteously, if you will, he says there's a blessing that comes from that. A blessing that comes. So when I think about this, let's just be honest. Sometimes the flesh wants to do one thing, and our born again spirit wants to do something else. Galatians 5 talks about this. It is a war. But when I judge between the two and make a decision to do what is being confirmed in my spirit, God says, right then, a blessing is being released into your life. You activate a blessing. Look in Psalm 112. Psalm 112, just begin in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Well, see, up until now, none of these verses have specifically identified anything that we could really call money. But here we see it. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What does that mean? Well, a holy fear, as in, well, God's right all the time. I'm only right when I agree with Him. He has the power to create a universe, planets, stars, animals, everything that exists in the universe. I don't have the power to create anything. So I guess maybe it is in my best interest to respect Him, honor Him, and fear Him. I mean, after all, there are a bunch of people in the Bible who died because they rebelled against Him. Don't think I want to be one of those people. He says, blessed is the man who fears, respects, honors, bows his knee to the Lord, and delights greatly in His commandments. That man's seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, don't be thinking, some people, I'm guarantee you right now, some are going to tell you that means his offering. That does not mean his offerings. Think of it like this. Sower sows the word. As you sow the word, it's going to be blessed. That's a way to think about it. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. I mean, right here, when you have a holy fear of God and you realize you ain't getting away with nothing, a holy fear of God, he says, you live like that, blessings are going to be on a conveyor belt headed into your life. Now, let me throw this out. Don't run around telling people, well, I'll probably be a millionaire this time next year because I fear God. No, please, do not think of it that way. Let's get our minds off money, all right? Even though I understand what this is saying, let's get our minds off money and just consider the fear comes first. So let's not be thinking about wealth and riches until we get the fear aspect, the honor, the respect aspect. Look over in Psalm 115. Psalm 115, beginning in verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both great and small. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So here, I understand it's saying here, you know, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and so forth. However, this would carry over. We've been made kings and priests unto God. And we have become his children. Follow me? Therefore, God is revealing to us there are blessings associated with being a part of his family, but ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, and recognize him as our help and as our shield. And he says, these blessings are not only going to impact you, but your children as well. So really think of it like this. When we live according to Psalm 115, verses 11 through 16, we are actually activating blessings for our children. Not just for us, but also for our children. Now look in Psalm 119. Verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Think of it this way. When you decide to live a holy life, not man's definition of holiness, but God's definition of holiness as revealed in Scripture. When you make a decision to do that, God says, immediately, you are activating the blessings of this verse. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, keeping His testimonies, seeking Him with a whole heart, that do no iniquity, that walk in His ways. When I make a decision to seek first the kingdom of God, when I make a decision that, God, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to live according to who I am in Christ, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I'm going to choose your life over the temptations of the flesh, no matter what those temptations would be. I'm going to make every effort possible to live as Christ on this earth, so that when people see me, it can be said, you've seen me, you've seen Christ, just like when Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And God says, you know, when you live that way, then there is a blessing that is released into your life. So there, you know, it's not, again, it's not restrictive to live the way God wants us to. It's restrictive to not live the way He wants us to. And He says, when you do this, there's a blessing. Now look in Psalm 133. Beginning in verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Commanded the blessing. I mean, here we're seeing a commandment that goes with this. When we dwell in unity, what is dwelling in unity? Very briefly, dwelling in unity is not becoming an enabler to the sins of Christians. Dwelling in unity starts with being in unity with Christ. And then as I'm in unity with Christ, I'm going to be able to dwell in unity with other Christians who are dwelling in unity with Christ. Look, when you have Christians who are not in unity with Christ, you can pretty well forget about being in unity with Him. You're going to get along for a certain period of time. But as soon as, say, their compromise is exposed, hey, unity is out the window. Now you're the judge. You're the one that's passing along condemnation. You're the one who's the Pharisee. You're the one that's causing the problems. And God says, well, you know what? If you'll dwell in unity with me, you're going to be in unity with each other. I don't care where you live on this planet. You will then be in unity with each other. And He says that He has commanded a blessing, even life evermore. So it is to our benefit to be sure that we are in unity with Jesus. Can two walk together except they be agreed? He's telling you right here, there is a blessing. There is an anointing that comes with this. Now somebody might ask the question, okay, I mean, I see a lot here about these blessings. And the thing is, out of all these passages that we've read, a lot of them just say blessed. But they don't tell me what the blessing is. I'd kind of like to know. All right, we'll turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now you do realize what you've just said, don't you? You've just said that if you don't really have a strong interest in the blessing, then you don't see any benefit in complying with the verse. Are you with me?
I don't need peace. I got all the peace I need, so I don't need that verse.
I don't need a blessing of joy. I got all the joy I need. I'm happy. Don't need that verse. So I'm not going to do that stuff in that verse. You know, you see what I'm saying? Look in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. So here's what we're seeing. Now, we just went through the book of Psalms, okay? I mean, you can go through other books in the Bible and see such verses. We have all these blessings that have been spoken and released. These blessings, these verses are waiting for us to activate them so that they can release into our lives whatever blessing they carry. Since every good and perfect gift comes from God, my question would be, what difference does it make what the particular blessing is? Well, it says in this verse that we'll be blessed, you know, if we do this, that, and the other, but I mean, what is that blessing? Who cares? It's going to be a good blessing. It's going to be a perfect blessing. And it comes from God, which means it's going to benefit our lives somehow. Let me say it like this. It will be a blessing related to what we need. It will be a blessing related more to what we need than what we want.
Well, if this verse here will get me a new car, then I'll do it.
Well, what if you don't need a new car?
Well, Brother Martin, have you seen my...
Okay, what if you need something else more than you need a new car? You need a new car, but what if you need something else? What? I don't know what that something else would be, but what... See, these blessings can't be anything bad for us. And as we read all these verses in Psalms about the blessings, none of them required a tithe or an offering. None of them. Absolutely none of them. So if somebody comes along and says, well now, if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed. And not only that, if you do not tithe, you cannot open the windows of heaven. And then if you do not put in an offering, you cannot determine how much comes out of those open windows. So therefore, you better put in your tithe and you better put in your offerings. I guess I could say, well, you know what? I got a whole bunch of verses right here that have nothing to do with the tithes and the offerings. So how about this? I keep my money and do these verses and still get blessed.
Well, you can't do that. I need your money. You I may go off the air.
Let me get this straight. Yeah, bye. Let me get this straight. You need money so that you don't go off the air. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You need money to pay your bills so you can stay on the air. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, why don't you send me an offering? And then you get all the blessings that come with the offering. How's that sound?
Oh, no, no, no. I need my money to pay my bills.
Well, what do I need my money for?
To send it to me so that I can pay my bills.
Something seems a little crooked here. A little twisted. All these verses we read. All these blessings. All of them. They're connected with the verses, not our money. So think of it like this. Even if we still had to tithe. Even if we did. We don't, but even if we did. Even if we still had to tithe to avoid a curse. And even if it was our tithe which opened those windows of heaven. And even if it were our offerings that determine how much comes out of the open. Even if that were still true. That still does not negate these verses here. Because these verses are not related to my tithes and offerings. So, I can do all of these verses separate from my tithes and offerings, and I'm still going to get blessed. Still going to get blessed. And then if the whole thing of tithes and offerings were still true, I could tithe and give offerings and get even more blessings. But we know that that tithe and offering stuff's not true. These verses right here, I'll be blessed. I will be blessed by incorporating all of these things in my life because these verses cannot refuse to release their blessings into my life. They are the Word of God. God has sent them here into the earth. They cannot return void. They have to obey Him and do what they're told to do. So when it says, blessed is the man that considers the poor, and I start considering the poor, you know what? That verse says, okay, I go to work, got to clock in, got to do my thing, start blessing this person. Yeah, but they don't take a bath every day. Can't help that. I have to bless them. Well, yeah, but they're not nice to the neighbor's dog. No, can't help that. I mean, I got to bless them. Now, I'm just being kind of silly here with all that. You know it. But when I do what these things say to do, it activates these blessings. And my money is still in my pocket. and again, it doesn't matter what the blessings are. I just know that they will be of great benefit to my life. And I cannot go wrong. And really, the greatest blessing is the pleasure in our Father's heart when we obey His Word. We begin to sense His pleasure. We begin to sense He's happy with us, pleased with us. And I don't know how to put it into words, but that it's as though that enhances our fellowship with Him when we're walking in His Word. So I want you guys to be encouraged with this tonight. Those of you here and those of you watching. All these blessings we read tonight, they're not connected with your tithes and offerings. And there are so many others that go right along with this. And then in the New Testament, there in Romans, it talks about, hey, you know what? God offered up His only Son for us. Well, if He's going to offer up His only Son, how in the world can He not freely give us all things? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The offering for my blessing has already been given. Amen. the precious Son of God. Hallelujah.